is an equal opportunity employer.
Broadcasting live from where the Blue Ridge yawns its greatness. We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
A chance to meet with the folks at Priority One when the merger happened, and I gotta tell you, man, I was very, very impressed with who they are and what they wanted to do. And then the other side of it is just meeting with them and learning more about, you know, what they thought of the community and how involved they wanted to get into it. And then we got involved with the Tigers for Tatas, and it just reiterated everything that we thought before. Is the folks at Priority One are part of us here in the Upstate, part of us here at the station, and part of us here at the Upstate, in the Upstate of South Carolina. Priority One would love for you to give them a call if it comes to protecting your family, protecting your business, protecting your employees, protecting your inventory, protecting your cash, anything they can do there. They are one of the largest companies in South Carolina, one of the largest privately owned operated companies in the state, really one of the largest security integrators in the country. They've got all the technology, the right people in place. They can earn your business. You'll see it in the video alarm system, the technology, the Ring doorbell stuff, the Total Control app. They're the best. We're satisfied with them here. We love them here inside, safe inside, inside our Priority One studios. It's PriorityOneSecurity.com. Paul Strelo joins us as he always does here in a very busy time. Good morning, Paul Strelo. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. Like you said, it's pretty frenetic this time of year.
Yeah, especially when you got sick kids and all that kind of stuff. So I hope everybody's feeling better from the last few weeks.
We're on the back end, yes.
Good. Glad to hear that. Let's begin with Zion. And Paul, give me the latest, any of the details, time, how you think he's going to do it, and what... what is maybe expected, or what do you expect to see Saturday night?
Yeah, it has been reported Zion's committing or announcing his decision in an 8 p.m. ceremony at his school gym, which usually means sometime well after 8 o'clock, once all the talking from coaches and everything gets done and glitches worked out. You know, he's meeting, we reported this morning, he's meeting these next couple days and has this week with several of the finalists. Duke was to be in Tuesday. South Carolina was scheduled to meet with him yesterday, but I don't believe that happened with school canceled and his basketball game canceled. You know, I don't know specifics on when or whether that will be rescheduled, but I assume it will be. UNC is slated to come in today, and I'm expecting Clemson to get the final meeting probably Friday. And then he makes his decision. But, you know, I think by and large, I think all indications for a while have pointed to Clemson being the likely choice. And I think if there's any threat to Clemson, it's UNC right now. But I think there a lot still adds up in Clemson's favor. And I think odds are on the Tigers getting the five-star on Saturday night.
I need to convince Zach Orr of that. Zach, you heard that. I want to make sure you heard that over there. Would you be – what's the shock value if it's Kansas, if it's Kentucky, if it's Duke, or if it's South Carolina? Any of those less shocking, more shocking than the other two finalists maybe you mentioned in Clemson and North Carolina?
Oh, I think if Duke were the pick, that would be a little less shocking, but I don't think they will be. You know, I think they've got R.J. Barrett coming in on the wing. And I think Zion Williamson has shown before that he, you know, one, he thinks he's a, you know, he believes he's a perimeter player. And I think Clemson has laid out a plan when you look at how they use Dante Grantham, that they would use him as a wing player and kind of plug him right in. And I don't think that Zion Williamson is one to just kind of follow other recruits, do that type of thing. I think he likes to be his own person and have his own identity. So, you know, it would surprise me if UNC is the pick as well, and I think they're number two right now. But by the same token, I think we've seen with a lot of big time basketball recruits that things can change fast at the end, and that a lot of times you think you know, but you don't know for sure. So things get a little tricky towards the end to kind of finish things off, as I think we've felt like with Zion for a couple months here, and that it's extended this far. But, you know, I don't think anything would necessarily shock the world on where he goes. But I still think Clemson is in the best position right now.
Gamecock fan texting wants to know if Bowen's commitment to South Carolina and if the mayor's Zion Day has any factor at all.
That is bizarro with the extent, even given the mayor's position at USC, the extent to which he is kind of openly recruiting Zion Williamson. No, that does not have any effect. If anything, I think it probably hurts their case. But, you know, I don't think Bowen matters whatsoever. He's got stronger friends going to Kentucky and elsewhere. So I don't think the Bowen effect really matters at all whatsoever. It's a good get for South Carolina, but I don't think that it impacts Zion Williamson whatsoever.
Let's turn our attention to football. We've got, I don't know, about eight guys or so. I want to ask you about all and just give a statement of where things stand and if there's any news breaking. Let's begin with Justin Ross, Phenix City, Alabama. I believe I'm right with saying Auburn this weekend, then Alabama. Any news there, any leanings there, anything coming out of the camp of Justin Ross?
No, he's scheduled to go to Alabama this weekend and then Auburn the next. You know, with Alabama losing his area recruiter, Derek Kinsley, and then kind of the fill-in, plug-in recruiter at the end, Brian Daboll, having left to take an NFL job, you know, really a lot of the relationships that were there are gone. Now, it's still Alabama. There's still Nick Saban there. And, you know, they've got another title. They've got two at quarterback, things that they will sell and that will appeal. But, you know, I think that they've lost a lot of the relation. You know, I think that they lose ground when you lose the relationship element there. Now, there'll still be people that want him to go to the Tide, particularly his grandmother. But, I think Clemson's still got the relationships there. Nothing has really changed from Clemson's angle. And I still think that they're in pretty strong shape compared to Alabama or Auburn.
Tigers brought in Richard Garage this past weekend. Tampa, Florida, top 100 offensive lineman. Florida, Auburn, and Clemson. What took place there to maybe get Clemson back in the game and maybe even towards the top of the leaderboard?
I think Clemson had been more out of sight, out of mind for a while. Mom had not really visited Clemson before. So to what degree could they be a factor without that component? So I think that they made a strong impression on Mom. I think, the fact Garage had not been on campus really since the Elite Junior Day last January, you know, I think Clemson really kind of ride the wave of momentum that they can get once they get a kid on campus and show him a lot of that one-on-one attention that Robbie Caldwell was able to show. So, you know, I think that Clemson made a very good impression, and I think if they were signing out of the weekend, that Clemson would be the spot. But there's still ways to go there. He's got his Auburn visit this weekend. That's a little different dynamic now that their offensive line coach has left to go to Texas. So, you know, I don't know if they have quite the momentum, but who knows what happens this weekend. Florida is really the one I think that people had written them off because the O-line coach had left and it didn't look like they were even going to get an official visit. But they'll now get one at the end of the month. Dan Mullen was to go in at the end of, back on Tuesday to see him and already use his in-home visit there. So I think they're trying to make sure Clemson in particular doesn't gain too much ground on them. And I think, I think if you're Clemson, the one concern is will proximity be a factor and the appeal that would hold to Mom. I think that the story is really to be written. I think if you're Clemson, you're feeling good, you're feeling cautiously optimistic right now. That Florida visit in particular, I think, looms large in 2 weeks, or really another week.
Linebacker Dax Holyfield, a guy that won't be taking an official visit. All five of those are used. Can they get in? Is he going to come on an unofficial visit? And can they get in despite not having an official visit?
I think that he will take an unofficial visit. Now, whether it's this Saturday or whether it's later, I don't know if that's in the clear yet. But I do think he will take an unofficial visit. Can they get in? Again, I think that's another one that we just don't know yet. I think the fact that he is open to entertaining a visit says something. But you know, I think he's talked about his parents not coming this weekend. And I think getting parents on board would be a significant factor. Now, maybe a visit this weekend sets the table for another unofficial visit, maybe with his parents. So I think that there's still work to do if you're Clemson, but I think the fact that the door is left open for them, you know, is reason for them to feel like they've got a chance. And that he didn't immediately just, coming off that Stanford official visit, didn't immediately just lock in with them. You know, mom went to UNC, so there's some pull there. Virginia Tech's been on him really the longest and the hardest. So, and he's someone that's flipped kind of who the favorite is many times through the course of this recruitment. So they can hang in there till the end. I think that there's reason to believe that they've got a chance.
Like to sign one safety maybe in this class. What's the latest with Matthew Hill from Snellville, Georgia, and from Leon O'Neill from out of Cypress Springs, Texas?
And we'll start with O'Neill, who is the former Texas A&M commitment and withdrew that pledge once Kevin Sumlin left and they had the turnover there. O'Neill had used his Texas A&M official visit back in late December. He went back there this past weekend on an unofficial visit. He's still kind of left it open, and he's not one that does a lot of interviews, so there's not a lot of info floating out there. He has said Clemson and Georgia are going to get official visits, and so I think if you're either one of those, you're holding out and trying to get that late to make the final impression, because if you go ahead and use it now, you're not going to withstand probably Texas A&M, maybe even Oklahoma in the end. And those two, Oklahoma and Texas A&M, are the best positioned, and I still think odds favor him sticking with the Aggies. But an official visit date has not yet been made public for Clemson or Georgia, and if he were to take one, I would expect it to be late. Matthew Hill, coming off his Auburn official visit last weekend, he's another that doesn't talk if he doesn't have to. I still think Clemson has a shot there. I think he is going to give Clemson an official visit. And, you know, I think odds probably favor it being this weekend, but he hasn't gone public with a date yet. And this kind of being the big weekend with the junior day and Notre Dame basketball game and a lot going on campus. But, Auburn has sold him on playing receiver. And I think they were playing catch up last weekend and kind of trying to give him the feel that he had when he took two Clemson visits late last fall. Kind of the family feel that is often referenced on a lot of different visits, but that Clemson gets in particular. So I think they're, from a late relational standpoint, trying to make the family feel like Clemson made him feel. So I think that Clemson has that advantage going into his official visit. I think speaks well to Clemson's chances. You know, the playing receiver appeals with Auburn, but you know, I think Clemson has been able to close the gap pretty well there.
Finally, at cornerback, I know that the high-end stuff like Patrick Surtain and Elijah Griffin, then there's this Palmer kid from Lawrenceville kind of on the scene. What's the latest at corner?
At corner, one still waiting on the Patrick Surtain official visit. He's got Alabama this weekend and took LSU last weekend. LSU, you know, his dad, the former NFL corner. Family is from Louisiana. Still family there. The relationship with the DB's coach, Corey Raymond, is really all those factors add up to why, you know, people think LSU is really going to be the choice in the end. Now, he wants to see out the process. You know, I think that Clemson gets an official visit. here toward the end. So, whether that's on the 26th or the February 2nd, don't know. But I think he gets probably one of those dates. And it's Clemson kind of just taking their swing to see what they can do. You know, Elijah Griffin, you mentioned, the high four-star from Mission Viejo, California. You know, I think Clemson, while they put their name in the hat for a four visit and with an offer there back at the, when he was at the All-Star game, I still think he's USC-bound, former UCLA decommitment. You know, I don't know that Clemson really gets much traction there. Teyon Palmer from Archer High School, you mentioned, Lawrenceville, Georgia. Really kind of one of the hottest commodities down the stretch. But, you know, the early signing period has made this a lot like basketball, where most people sign early, and then the ones who don't sign and are available late, the market goes crazy for them and totally inflates their value. So he's suddenly become like the hottest commodity out there. Florida, LSU, all these offers. Notre Dame has come in for someone who had been committed to Duke. And really it only had Vanderbilt and NC State interest going into December. So, you know, he took an official visit to Nebraska last weekend. He's got NC State this weekend. Those two, you know, kind of stuck with him because of their loyalty and he'd been in from the beginning. You know, I think he will take official visits after that. Notre Dame and Clemson are really the two right now that are best positioned for those. And I think if you're Clemson, you're probably trying to get one of the later ones, number one, so you can know where you are with Surtain. Number two, because he's planning to take all his visits, you want the final shot at him. So I think more of keeping an eye on, does Notre Dame get that January 26th visit? Does Clemson then position itself for February 2 or get him in on the 26th? Or are they even going to get in a visit at all with the attention that Palmer is getting now? You know, I think that's something that's just going to have to play out over the next 2 weeks.
Paul, only got a couple of minutes here, but if you can kind of give us a blanket statement or a big name or two or a storyline to follow from what should be a pretty interesting junior day coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, more than a dozen of the rivals, 250 prospects coming in, which are four-star guys or higher. I think theme-wise, I think of linebacker. We've got five offered linebackers coming in. For that class, linebackers is a need for 2019, both for quantity and quality, because they're going to lose really five over the, at least five, if not six, over the course of these next two classes. So, I think linebacker remains a priority for Brent Venables and seeing what they can get coming out of that. You know, I also think that there are a couple decent offensive linemen coming in. Pierce Quick, he's committed to Alabama. From Alabama, so that one will be tough. Keandre Jones and Harry Miller, two four-star interior linemen from Georgia, and Clemson's positioned themselves really at least top two with. Highest-ranked prospect, probably going to be Kavaris Crouch. We've got him number two nationally. Running back linebacker, who's 6'2", 225, 230 already. So what he grows into remains to be seen and what position he decides to play. Will it be offense or defense? The highly ranked young man out of Charlotte that Alabama, Michigan, South Carolina, all prominently involved with. So, you know, I think those are the biggest themes and names really coming into the weekend for an event that is, I believe, really become the signature event on Clemson's recruiting calendar over the course of a year.
Just as a blanket statement, too, is this the quality that should be here on Saturday? Is it pretty reflective of where the program is? I mean, is it and it might not be as good as last year because of Lawrence and Xavier Thomas being here, but is it right along the lines of where you think the program is right now and around the national recruiting reputation that the guys have?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough for expectations to match what 2018 did because of Trevor Lawrence, not only number one nationally, but a long-time type quarterback. And then Xavier Thomas being an in-state five-star ranked top five nationally. You know, it's just hard to carry that kind of traction year in, year out at the very top. So maybe the signature names at the top won't be there. But I think in terms of the volume and kind of what we're just kind of laid out already with 13, 14, at least highly ranked four-star prospects, I think that's a that's the kind of list that an Alabama, Florida State, and LSU has tended to bring in for their events and for really their signature type weekends before. So I think that does speak to the stature of where Clemson is and their ability to attract and appeal to that many high-profile guys coming from South Florida, and as well as, you know, the staple areas of Georgia and North Carolina, you know, pulling some guys out of Alabama, stuff like that.
Besides that, Paul, really nothing else going on. Why should someone subscribe to Tiger Illustrated at maybe the busiest time in the history of the website?
Certainly, you know, between our junior day coverage, we should have plenty from, you know, plenty leading up to, as well as through Zion Williamson's announcement. And then really as they go down the stretch, trying to close with Ross and Hill and Surtain and a number of different guys who are expected to visit. You know, while much of the hay was in the barn of this class in late December, still has turned out to be plenty of drama, as we knew there would be, specifically with DB recruiting coming here down to the wire.
Place to find it, TigerIllustrated.com. Paul, you're the best, man. Hope everybody feels better, and looking forward to reviewing of that junior day and maybe still reviewing, hopefully reviewing some Zion stuff with you next week.
Thank you, Mickey.
Thank you, buddy. It's a good friend, Paul Strelo. Short break, more right after this.
It's time for another exciting Clemson Tigers basketball game in Little John Coliseum. The Tigers return home to take on Notre Dame, an ACC tournament team from a year ago. Pre-game begins at 3:30 p.m. with a 4 p.m. tip-off on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Clemson Tigers men's basketball on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, 105.5 The Roar, WCCP.
If you dream of owning your own business but are overwhelmed at where to start or what to do, call JanPro. Whether it's extra income or starting a new career, JanPro will guide you, train you, support you the whole way. Just listen.
We made a very small investment into the business, but yet they took the time to train us and to teach us, you know, how to do what we were supposed to do and everything. And not only to train us, but they follow up with us.
Call 485-3053 or online at jan-prowc.com.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hi, I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donut Company in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drop by for a delicious donut and a cup of coffee. And remember, raise money for your club, church, or group of worthy cause. Sell Krispy Kreme donuts. Call Anderson and Spartanburg Krispy Kreme.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Whether you're making updates to existing properties or building new construction, Lowe's has savings for pros. Now through February 7th, get 25% off all in-stock kitchen cabinets. Plus, save 5% on every purchase every day when you use your Lowe's business credit account. And don't forget, you can save yourself some time by ordering online at lowesforpros.com and pick up your order at our pro desk. Offer subject to credit approval. Can't be combined with other credit offers. Exclusions apply. U.S. only.
Not all beef jerky is created equal. At the Greenville Jerky Company, we call our beef jerky pasture to pouch because we start with Carolina grass-fed beef, hand-cut the old-fashioned way, and then marinated using local, all-natural ingredients. No nitrates, no preservatives, and no junk you can't pronounce. At the Greenville Jerky Company, we make jerky every week to guarantee you the freshest, all-natural, grass-fed beef jerky. Stop by our store in downtown Greenville and sample one of our 9 amazing flavors. And look for us in better breweries and bottle shops.
Hey, this is Brock with Tom's Barbecue. My wife, Beth, and I are the new owners and are carrying on a 30-year barbecue tradition with the same 8 homemade sauces, including our famous Cheerwine sauce and scratch-made sides. Come by and enjoy our low-slow Southern Smoked Barbecue. We're open for lunch Monday through Saturday, 10:30 to 3, and we can cater any event. Let Tom's Barbecue make your tailgate perfect with our custom tailgate packages. Follow us on Instagram at Tom's BBQ for special tailgate giveaways. Tom's Barbecue at the corner of Woodruff and Garlington in Greenville.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-597-4310. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-597-4310. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-597-4310. That's 1-800-597-4310. 1-800-597-4310.
It's the Mickey Plyler Show.
Sweet season ghost.
Here's your host. You dig it the most.
On WCCP.
105.5 The Roar.
You know me as being a little bit tight, like, with money. I would say thrifty. Like, I don't, you know me as being
you throw cash around.
No. I don't have cash. I can't throw it around for what I don't have.
Just whack the credit card. It's fake money.
Nope.
It's just fake money.
Nope. That doesn't happen. So the bottom line is that I look for ways to save money. And so the idea of going out and buying a new mattress is great. The idea of going out and buying a new mattress with retail pricing, that's dumb and terrible and crazy. Why would you do that? Get an engineered sleep bed. Engineered sleep, engineeredsleep.com. You're going to get fair pricing because they're going to sell it right out of their own factory there. And so there's no retail markup where the middleman makes his money too. On top of that, you get a bed custom designed just for you. It's our great friends at Engineered Sleep and engineeredsleep.com off of Congaree Road over in Greenville. Saturday, huge game in Little John Coliseum. We have Notre Dame coming to town, 4 o'clock over at Little John. And Brad Burnell joins us now. Good morning, Coach Burnell. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you guys?
We're fantastic. I can tell you how the culture has changed. I've seen it in your program. I've seen it with your players. But I'm seeing it here, man, because I've got people that are telling me, I don't care what it costs, find me 4 Notre Dame tickets. Find me 2 Notre Dame tickets. We're getting these phone calls. We get these texts. And I'm a popular man again, that the ticket demand has gone way up. Before we get into the North Carolina stuff, for folks that might have to go into work a little bit early, I know that home court advantage in this ACC has been huge. How big would it be for you to have a great crowd out there and maybe pull out a great win against Notre Dame?
Well, certainly be big. I thought we've had 2 great crowds. I think it's been sellouts the last 2 weeks with Louisville at home and Miami, 2 great home wins. And especially the Miami game last weekend, coming off that 1-point loss at NC State and the 38-hour turnaround, I really thought the electricity in the building really helped give our guys a big boost. And certainly we're going to need that against Notre Dame team that's very competitive, very hungry, and really talented group.
Since we last talked to you, you guys did beat Miami, and I loved it, man. You came out and Gabe DeVoe hit the early 3. You found a way. Boy, length is going to bother a lot of people, but we saw with Louisville going to beat Notre Dame the other day that Louisville is a tough out. Talk to us about some of the keys and those big 3s and really a nice overtime win for you.
Well, I thought it was really a gritty performance. I just thought that, we expended a lot of energy the other night against NC State and guys were still locked in pretty good. And I thought it was a very good defensive game for, pretty much 30 minutes. And then I thought the 2 big shots were Mark Donnell's 3s that really kind of gave us a 6 or 7 point lead. And then from there, I just thought we kind of pulled away with some really good play. We had some big 3s. Dante Grantham was great last weekend. I think he hit 4 3s and just played a terrific basketball game. Defensively, I thought we guarded Miami about as well as we could guard them. Big, strong, physical team with a couple pros out on the wings, and we did a good job of keeping those guys at bay and made some big free throws down the stretch when we needed to. So that was a tremendous win, certainly last weekend.
All right, go to Chapel Hill, and boy, the Tar Heels shoot the eyes out of it. After the game, you talked about defense. I mean, some of those things are just indefensible, but how much of it, how disappointed were you in it and some of the big factors of the Tar Heels putting up 87?
Yeah, I was disappointed in some of it. There were some plays. I think the things that disappointed me were our first, the early turnovers in the first 5 minutes. We had 4 turnovers that I just thought were plays that, self-inflicted wounds, most of them. Maybe one of them wasn't, but 3 of the 4 were self-inflicted and just were too good a team to be making errors like that. you know, regardless of the situation. And so that really disappointed me. And then just I thought we fought at times defensively and had some good possessions. But I didn't think, like, our competitive spirit and just our positioning in certain situations was where it needed to be. And the atmosphere and a little bit of we struggled offensively, I thought that got to us a little bit. And then, you know, we kind of got shifted back into offensive Clemson basketball there in the second half. And obviously the remarkable 14 or 15 possessions in a row where we score in terms of made shots. And that was tremendous. But we just didn't quite get enough stops. You know, we played an unbelievable offensive second half, but we weren't able to stop North Carolina. And they're hard to play against. It's a different kind of North Carolina team with four guys out there shooting threes. And Cameron Johnson is a tremendous wing with great size that shot over top of us a couple times when we were in position. But I just felt like there were some possessions that we didn't do our job. And again, it was some self-inflicted wounds there.
I imagine that is the message between the North Carolina game, and I know you got another day to prepare here, actually a couple days to prepare for Notre Dame. How has the team responded to that, and what's the message going into to the Irish coming to town?
Well, we were pretty tired, I thought, too. Like, I think Dante wasn't – he didn't feel 100% in the North Carolina game. I think you could see it. Really just didn't quite have it that day. And I think a little fatigue. And so yesterday we were off and really didn't see our guys. And I think it was probably good for all of us. We've been together unbelievable amount here in the last 6-7 days with 3 games in 6 days. I think sometimes we just need to give each other a little space and kind of regroup and get re-energized. We're getting ready to meet with them here this morning. Since school's been delayed, we're going to meet with them in the morning and have a little talk about the North Carolina game, kind of put that to bed, and then get ready for 2 good days of practice here this afternoon and tomorrow. And I look for our guys to be, you know, competitive and ready to get back in the gym. So I'm excited to see them here in a few minutes.
Irish at 4:00 on Saturday. What kind of club will they bring down? I know injuries have been a big factor from what we might have thought in the preseason. What kind of team will they bring down? What are some keys to getting a win on Saturday?
Well, certainly they lost Bonzi Colson, you know, who's an unbelievable player and you know, big reason why they were picked, you know, second or third in our league preseason. But they're still a really, really talented group with a winning culture. They just got back their point guard, Matt Farrell, who's one of the better point guards in our league. Just super competitive team. Rex Pfluger is just he's kind of the new Steve Astoria for them and just a tough-minded. You know, this team is actually better defensively than most Notre Dame teams have been. They rebound better. TJ Gibbs is their 2 guard, a guy who's going to be an all-conference player, if not this year, in another year. So they got a great backcourt. Martin Gevin inside, big 6'11", 255-pound center that's one of the better offensive rebounders and a really improved big man that's getting a lot more touches now that Bonzi Colson is out and scoring double figures every game. So they're certainly very talented. Again, I think that winning culture that they have there is it just breeds success, and those guys expect to win every game. They're coming off a couple of very difficult losses. They lost in double overtime to Louisville at home, and then they lost by 1 to North Carolina. So they'll be extremely hungry down here, and we'll have to play very physical, and our defense will have to be better than it was against North Carolina to win this thing.
This league has been extremely difficult on road teams. Besides just the obvious, how do you attack that? I mean, how much of it is physical? You're just playing really good teams in really tough buildings to play. How much of it is emotional or psychological? Because, boy, visiting teams have been chewed up and spit out so far in this season.
Yeah, I think it takes a lot of poise to go on the road and win. And you're going to have to withstand a run by the home team and the crowd going crazy. And, you know, one of the things you got to be able to do in those situations is you got to be able to score when the crowd in the building is electric. And, you know, that's not easy to do. And that's why when we're on defense, you know, that's when we want our crowd going crazy. And because that it is hard to communicate. It's hard to execute. It takes special players to make big plays when a building is electric. And, sometimes the best thing you can do is just get fouled and get to the free throw line and try to make a couple free throws to calm down a run and to calm and quiet a crowd. And I think that's one of the separators. The best teams have teams and have players that can make big plays when the building is electric. And I think that's hard to do. Certainly one of the big factors in not being able to win on the road for teams.
Yeah. I've asked you several times now, but because it's a fluid situation and because you play three games in 6 days, guys off the bench, I know you've got it from Donald and from Scar a little bit. Any other guys coming on? You see maybe more opportunities as the season gets deeper to maybe get some of those some of those guys off the bench maybe a little more time?
Yeah, I think Amir Sims is a guy. I wish I'd have played him a couple more minutes against North Carolina. I think he's really starting to turn the corner. It's just there's some matchup issues, obviously, with North Carolina when they play small that were hard for him. And so sometimes it's matchups as much as anything. And you move David Scar to the four some, and that takes away a few of Amir's minutes just because of mobility and defense and being able to guard pick-and-pop shooters, different things we can switch where we can – with Scar, we can have him guarding guards. But I really think Amir Sims is really turning the corner as a player for us. I just feel his confidence starting to come. He's lost a little weight since the beginning of the season, which I think has been really good. I think he's moving around much better. He's starting to get a better grasp of what we're doing. So I really look for Amir to be a guy that can make a big step for us here down the stretch. And Clyde Trapp and those guys, AJ and those guys, you just never know. I think they'll continue to get a minute or two here, and then we just see how it goes. We just have so many experienced backcourt players right now that it's hard for those guys to get much time.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, give me one key, Coach. We're going to have a sold-out crowd. It's going to be a massive crowd, and it's a huge game. Is there a matchup? Is there a statistic I need to look for? Give me something that really will be a point of emphasis, something that will be a huge key in defeating Notre Dame on Saturday.
Yeah, defensively, we got to rebound the ball. They're a very good rebounding team with big guards, big strong size inside. So, again, that's one of the bugaboos of us every once in a while. Though we did a pretty good job against North Carolina, we really did, fighting on the boards. So I look for that. And then, a little bit of three-point shooting, I think, for both teams, too. I think we're going to see, we might see 50% zone in this game. They may zone us a bunch just to give us a different look. And he's been kind of doing that because he doesn't sub very much at all. He plays his guards almost 38, 39, 40 minutes every game. So he does that to buy them a little time. So I think, our execution against the zone, our shooting against the zone, we're going to need to make some outside shots, excuse me, when they go zone.
Hey, final one. You played a lot of different defenses up in Chapel Hill. What was your thought about, why you do it and then how successful, you got some experience there. How do you think the guys adapted to playing more defenses?
Yeah. Well, we just it was hard a little bit there because we did an okay job in the first half defensively, considering our offense was so bad and we were in transition a lot. When I went back and watched the tape, it was probably a little better than I thought it was during the game. In the second half when we were scoring, we were struggling a little bit, just trying to give them a different look, which was a little bit of a dangerous proposition because they were shooting it so well. We did switch to the zone, which doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but I do think that it worked. We played 10 possessions of our 3-2 zone, and I think they scored 8 or 9 points against it, which is, under 1 point of possession, which is really good defensive efficiency. So I think it worked for us. It just threw them off a rhythm a little bit. They missed a couple shots that they could have made for sure, but I thought it also just helped our guys kind of settle down. I just felt like we got in a situation defensively where we lost a little confidence and we were chasing around a little too much. And so as much as anything, just didn't feel like we had quite the handle on them that we'd had on most of the other teams we've been playing recently. And so just tried to give them a different look. It worked a little bit. And, it's something we use periodically in different situations.
Hey, you also ran some trap as well with Dante up top. Did that? Did you like it? Was that?
Yeah, our 1-3-1. That's kind of a feast or famine defense where you really are trying to get them to quick shoot or – take a quick bad shot, or you're trying to get a turnover with your activity and length. It was fine. It was okay. Actually, Luke May made a really difficult 17-foot shot, which is actually what you want in a defense like that. If you don't steal it, is you don't want a wide open three. You don't want a layup or dunk. You want kind of an in between shot. But he made it. It was a tough shot, so it served its purpose, but it wasn't highly effective in terms of. I think we played it 2 or 3 possessions, and I think they scored 4 points against it. So it was okay. It's something we'll use periodically. It maybe fits part of this team a little bit, but certain lineups with our team with that defense are not quite as good.
a lot of dilemmas that those guys will present to you. Coach, we got a great one Saturday, 4 o'clock, Little John. I think that judging from the calls, judging from the texts and emails we get, we're going to have a huge crowd out. I know you'd love to have it. Great luck. And then you got Virginia next week. We don't want to talk about that. We got Georgia Tech after that. So let's talk next Thursday and hope to talk about a couple of nice victories for you.
That sounds good, Mick. Thanks, buddy.
All right, buddy. Good luck on Saturday. That's our good friend, Brad Burnell, who every single week, man, it's every single game. It's a grind. And it'll be a grind against Notre Dame. It'll be a last few possession game, I think. Last 5 minutes game, 4 minute timeout game against Notre Dame as well. And then, oh, by the way, you get a number two Virginia. Georgia Tech's playing well at home. You get North Carolina back here. Man, just get us to that Wake Pitt deal before we go back into Florida State and Duke again. It's just it's a meat grinder, no doubt about that. Tell you about our friends at Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com. They are awesome at what they do because they take your situation and they want to know you and your family, where you're going, and I don't know, the age of your kids and what your current situation is, what your future could look like, and your goals, and they tailor-make loans just for you, and buying your next home or refinancing your current home or remodeling your current home. They do a wonderful job of that. I've seen it work on two different occasions for me, and them knowing the questions they ask, I know it's just in depth. And it's not just the idea of let's see what your credit's like, let's see what your how much money you're making, and let's do this. They structure loans exactly for what you need. And that's why I'll go with them. And it's local people too. It's not an 800 company or a .com company that you'll never see. These are local people that are helping you make local decisions right here in the upstate of South Carolina. PrimeLendingSC.com. I have two big lists to get to. The top 25, way too early top 25 list from ESPN. And then the 25 top players in college football coming back. If you want to go to the boat show, call Zach during this break. I have two tickets to give away to the Upstate Boat Show. Give Zach a call right now for the 40th annual Upstate Boat Show. Call 654-ROAR. The very first caller gets the two tickets right after this.
Join Walt Deptula's Road Rage at Twin Peaks this Thursday for some awesome food, drinks, and of course the scenic views. Get sports delivered to you like only Walt can do. And enjoy the cold beer and the HD TVs live this Thursday at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hi, I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donut Company in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drop by for a delicious donut and a cup of coffee. Pick up a box for your business or church meeting. Share them with family and friends during a time of need. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kreme.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Vehicles repairs can be a painful experience, but don't let them be. The experts at My Garage are here to treat your vehicle like the major investment it is. Call today to make your appointment at 633-5800 or visit us at 551 Old Greenville Highway in Clemson.
No matter where you're going, you'll see hundreds of convenience stores along your route. What sets Locomart in Clemson apart? Quality gasoline at awesome prices? Yes. Rewards to help you save even more money? Yes. But you'll also find a huge craft beer selection at Locomart that you wouldn't find at a normal convenience store. There's only one stop you need to make. Locomart on Old Greenville Highway and Highway 123. Proudly locally owned and operated. Marathon. Fueling the American spirit.
At last, the new year is here. What do you see ahead? Happy days and carefree nights?
Credit card bills?
Right. Credit card bills.
Looking at months of high-interest credit card bills from all that generous holiday gift-giving? Time to go to Lightstream and get a low-interest rate credit card consolidation loan. Act now to get an even lower rate with our special radio listener discount. Go to lightstream.com/sports to get rates as low as 5.39% APR with AutoPay. And with average interest rates on credit cards at 17% APR, Lightstream could save you thousands of dollars in interest. Makes the new year a whole lot brighter, doesn't it? The application takes minutes online. There are no fees, and you can have funds as soon as today. So if you have good to excellent credit, apply today and get a special interest rate discount at lightstream.com/sports. That's lightstream.com/sports. Lightstream.com/sports.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Available only when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com for important information about limits on Lightstream loans and same day funding.
At
AdWords Auto Sales in Walhalla wants you to take advantage of Ford's year-end sales event. All the 2017s must go, and most models have 0% financing for 72 months and no dealer fees. It's the best time of the year to visit the Ford dealer who makes a difference. Danny Edwards and the whole courteous staff at AdWords Auto Sales wish you and your family all the best during the holiday season. AdWords Auto Sales is located on Highway 28 in Walhalla. Test drive Ford's finest today.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
CMH Services is South Carolina's source for new Crown and Unicarriers forklifts, used forklifts, and forklift parts, service, and rentals. CMH offers a complete line of material handling solutions for every application. CMH is dedicated to providing their customers the equipment, knowledge, and support they need to make every operation a total success. Locally owned since 1968. Call 800-922-9569 to find out more or go online cmhservices.net. That's CMHServices.net.
So, who did you wake up with?
Ah! It's the Mickey Plyler Show.
On WCCP.
105.5 The Roar.
Stacy's mom has got it going on. Stacy's mom has got it going on. Stacy's mom has got it.
Welcome back. Final segment of the show. I appreciate Paul Strelo and Brad Burnell joining us. We go to our Northern Communication phone lines. Williams and Travelers Rest. Good morning, William. How you doing?
Snowed in, Mickey, but I was calling for all the Clemson Tiger parents out there who have kids who have been too loud the last day and going to be loud today. All those times they've been loud inside or loud in the car and their parents are telling them to be quiet, bring them to the game on Saturday. Tell them to be as loud as they can, as long as they can, and that it's okay to cheer. Be as loud as you possibly can, and when the fan next to you is not being loud, ask them why they're not.
I love it, man. I absolutely love it. If they've got that cabin fever, that cooped up, that hysteria going on, bring your kids to the game Saturday. I like that idea.
That's right.
Hey, have you been on the road at all in Travelers Rest today?
Yes, it is. I'm actually headed down the road, headed to work, but it is pretty iced over up here.
All right. Be careful, my friend. Be careful out there.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. See you, William. It's not bad here in Clemson, but I know in areas that it has to be bad. Travelers Rest is up there in the foothills, so certainly be careful there. Yeah. I like it up there, though. I told you my
old tur.
My grandmother's brother was her former basketball coach there, and they named gym after him, Joe Small.
My freshman year roommate was from Travelers Rest.
Yeah.
I go, man, where are you from? He goes, I'm from Tur. I was like, excuse me? I'm from Tur.
Tur.
Home of the Devil Dogs.
My good friend Chico Bolin, the late Chico Bolin, came up with Devil Dogs as their mascot. Longtime great high school football coach. You couldn't find two better coaches than Chico Bolin and Joe Small, man. That was great. ESPN way too early, top 25. They've re-ranked them. South Carolina stays at number 25. Texas stays at 24. They re-ranked them after the early entry stuff. LSU stays at 23. Florida State stays at 22. Central Florida stays at 21. Notre Dame stayed at 20. Mississippi State stayed at 19. Now, Southern Cal, because they lost Sam Darnold and Deontay Burnett and Ronald Jones, they moved from 15 down to 18. Boise State stayed at 17. TCU stayed at 16. Virginia Tech moved from 14 down to 15. They lose both Evans brothers, lose Tim Settle to the draft. The Michigan Wolverines moved from 13 down to 14. Not sure why they dropped one. Maybe they realized they weren't very good. Auburn fell from 12 to 13. Remember, they lose Kerryon Johnson and Cameron Petway, and also lose Carlton Davis and Jeff Holland, four guys to the draft. Stanford moves up from 18 to 12. They did lose some. They lost three juniors, but Bryce Love comes back. Stanford from 18 down to number 12. Penn State stays number 11. West Virginia stays number 10. Remember, they get back Greer and Sills. Michigan State stays number 9. Miami moves from 7 to 8. They lose Walton, lose Kendrick Norton and R.J. McIntosh, three guys to the draft. Well, Washington gets Browning back at quarterback and Miles Gaskin back at tailback. And so Washington moves from number 8 to number 7. ESPN way top, too early top 25 list. Wisconsin stays at 6. Georgia State at 5. Oklahoma State at 4. Ohio State stayed at 3. Alabama, who lost Calvin Ridley, Bo Scarborough, Deron Payne, and Micah Fitzpatrick, Ronnie Harrison early to the draft, along with Bradley Bozeman, Deshaun Hand, Rashad Evans, Levi Wallace, Anthony Averett, Tony Brown, J.K. Scott. Alabama falls from number one down to number 2. And Clemson, because they get back Austin Bryant, Cleveland Farrell, Christian Wilkins, Kendall Joseph, Mark Fields, Mitch Hyatt. Clemson moves from number 1 to the preseason number 2 on the list. I'm starting from number 2 to number 1. So Clemson replaces Alabama at number 1. Clemson, 7 offensive returning starters, 8 on defense, 2 on special teams. Altogether, 17 returning starters for next year. So new number 1. There's new sheriff in town for that preseason poll.
Howdy.
Quickly, let me give you this. The top 25 players in college football next year, according to CBS Sports.
Ooh.
Ready? Number 25 quarterback. Oh, by the way, there's one team in here omitted, you'll hear. Number 25 quarterback from Missouri, Drew Locke. Florida defensive end, number 24, C.C. Jefferson. Number 23, Arkansas offensive lineman, Halte Froholt. Number 22, West Virginia wide receiver, David Sills. Number 21, quarterback from Washington, Jake Browning. 20 is Wyoming defensive back, Andrew Wingard. 19 is Southern Cal linebacker, Cameron Smith. 18 is Washington cornerback, Byron Murphy. 17, Arizona quarterback, Khalil Tate. 16, running back from Wisconsin, Jonathan Taylor. 15, LSU cornerback, Greedy Williams. Great name there. 14, Texas Tech linebacker, Dakota Allen. Number 13, I love this guy, Ole Miss wide receiver, A.J. Brown, dominant. Number 12, running back from Iowa State, David Montgomery. Number 11, FAU running back, Devin Singletary. Number 10, Central Florida quarterback, Mackenzie Milton. Number 9, Ohio State defensive lineman, Nick Bosa. Number 8, Kansas State offensive lineman, Dalton Risner. Number 7, Clemson defensive lineman, Cleveland Farrell. It says, with Christian Wilkins, the anchor of the Clemson defensive line, but Farrell is more the monster, a statistic monster. He leads a unit, had 46 total pressures. An outstanding number considering the pressure came from any spot along the line with 66 tackles. He could have been a for sure first-round pick. Instead, he'll make one more go of it in college. I don't know what first-round pick there, but anyway. Number 6, Will Greer, quarterback at West Virginia. Number 5, Northern Illinois defensive end Sutton Smith. Number 4, quarterback Penn State, Trace McSorley. Number 3, defensive lineman from Houston, Ed Oliver. The number 2 player in the country, Christian Wilkins, defensive lineman. So the truth is, you can make a better case for any Clemson defense starting lineman, but they all fit high on here. They're all coming back. Wilkins, what separates him from others is his versatility. He commands double teams, pressures from defensive tackle spot, coming off the edges and in. Quick feet, quickness in the guy at 6'4 and 300, rare combo, what makes him one of the most special players in the country. Finally, the top player in the country coming back, Bryce Love, running back at Stanford. Clemson, mm-hmm. 2 of the top 7 players.
Cool deal.
Cool deal. Can't beat that, man. Finally, I'm going to save this for my 2-minute drill.
Oh.
I have 14 college recruits that you need to know, including some Clemson guys in here. Brad Hughes is my Allstate agent. I'm a good hands with Brad Hughes. I'm a good hands with Allstate. I can call him at 292-3001. I can email him, bradhughes@allstate.com. I can get in touch with him, bradhughesinsurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to my great friend, Brad Hughes, and the Allstate Insurance Agency. We forget some of the sports every single day. Today, I will forgive the War Chant website down at Florida State. They are complaining about Clemson's schedule, about not having to play on Mondays or Thursdays or Fridays. And right now, they talk about Clemson, how easy their schedule is. You know, we'll forgive them because Clemson is the team that now Florida State looks up to in those standings the last 3 years. We finish things up, buddy, as we always do with our 2-minute drill.
Hi, this is Leah from Local Q, letting you know that...
Hey, Leah. I'm Mickey. Excuse this me. Is Zach.
Try to get 4 minutes of content into 2 minutes. It's time for the 2-minute drill on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. Now, here's Mickey.
Well, after that brief hiccup, we're going to go with the NHL
as having their first black player playing in the league in 1958. Willie O'Ree played for the Boston Bruins against the Montreal Canadiens. They lost the game 3-0, but he went on to play 45 games for the Bruins and had a successful career. 21 professional seasons in hockey. 1958 was when the NHL had their first black hockey player.
You know, my favorite player in the league is?
Right now?
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, he really was, so he got traded.
Who's that?
Traded from the Preds, from the Canadiens.
Oh, PK.
Yeah. PK was, he's a beast, man. How's he doing with the Preds?
Pretty good.
see, we should have. That was a bad trade, right?
Yeah.
I knew it. All right. My Two Minutes are brought to you by Eric Newton, Newton.com. For all of your real estate needs, our great friend, EricNewton.com. Anything you need here in Clemson, too, that you're looking for a place to live next fall, you got to do that now, man. Take care of it now. Let Eric Newton take care of you. Anything you need is EricNewton.com. CBS Sports has 14 players that haven't signed yet that you need to know. Patrick Surtain is one of these, five-star corner. That's LSU, Alabama. Clemson, maybe Florida State, maybe, but looks like LSU, Alabama there. Nicholas Pettit-Frey, the guy that Clemson was involved with, they won't get a visit out of him now. Other guys, Tyson Campbell, the Tigers were involved with. Looks like Alabama, Georgia, and Miami are the top three there. Elijah Griffin, we just talked about. Looks like Southern Cal, Tennessee. The Tigers won't be involved there. But Justin Ross is in this list as the five-star player that Clemson, Alabama, and Auburn is on this one. And finally, Richard Garage is on there here as well. Clemson, Auburn, and Florida. So three of the top 14 players still out there, according to CBS Sports, and the guys you need to know between now and signing day coming up 2 weeks from this coming Wednesday. Let me thank callers, sponsors, listeners, texters, tweeters, and emailers. Let me thank Paul Strelow from TigerIllustrated.com. Thank Brad Brunell, Clemson.